Well, how many of y'all are liking the book of Titus so far? One person. All right, Justin and a couple others. Yeah, so the book of Titus is, it's a really unique book that has a blueprint for God's plan of developing healthy churches. So when a church starts out, like with Enrich, like we started from scratch in our apartment with me, Meredith, and the kids just worshiping, fasting, and praying and being, okay, God, how do you want to do this thing? And then it's been interesting over the past year and a half plus to see how God has unfolded what the journey has looked like. And to be honest, like I don't really know where anything's going most of the time. I just fast and pray and then God kind of shows what's next. And so it's been interesting, like a couple weeks ago we sent out two church planting teams. And one of them is pioneering, Jaden and Chloe down in San Diego. And Selma with Ethan and Jen is established over in the Arcadia, San Gabriel area. And in Rich, we're starting to send these teams out. And so what's unique is that we're going to look at how do you take a church that's been planted, and then how do you develop healthy leaders to help that church grow and become stronger, and then plant and start other churches. So let's look at verses 4 and 5, and we'll make our way through this section together. So it says, I'm writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share. May God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior, give you grace and peace. I left you on the island of Crete so you can complete our work there and appoint elders in each town as I instructed you. All right, so picture yourself as Titus in this situation. You're there with your mentor, Paul, and you go throughout the island of Crete. And as you're going throughout the island of Crete, you're leading more and more people to know Jesus for the first time. So if you think about Crete, they had never heard of Jesus before. They had never heard of the gospel. So if you think about a culture and a people apart from the gospel, what their lives would look like, living totally in their flesh and in the world, this is them. So if you think like Netflix on steroids of people like in real life, like that's what Crete was like. So they had no idea who Jesus was. They didn't know about God's ways. And so as they went throughout the island of Crete, in all these different towns, people were coming to know Jesus. And so if you think about with Paul and Titus, and they might have had another team working with them, and they get to the end of the island and they've done all this work, and Paul's like, hey, Titus, I'm out. I'm going to go to the next gig and lead more people to Jesus, and I'm leaving you here to continue the work. So if you think about, like, if your mentor was with you and your mentor says, I'm leaving and I'm entrusting you with the care of these churches, and your role is to help develop and mature them and grow them, that's where Titus is at. And so Titus is given instructions by Paul about what to do. And the way this would work is when Paul would write these letters, the person that would receive the letter, they would actually read this letter to all the churches that it was written to. So if you imagine like this, these churches probably weren't super big. They were probably kind of like our size of like 40-ish or so with kids. And Titus would stand up there and he would literally read this letter to the church. And that's how these letters would be communicated. Of Paul would be writing these letters, and they would go from church to church reading these letters. And that's how they would do this. So if you think about like Paul and Titus, mentorship is super important in developing leaders. That's why at Enrich, we don't really have like a lot of programs. It's more of like life-on-life discipleship. And that's so intentional because it's the mentorship and doing life together that really grows people into becoming leaders. So we had Paul as a mentor to Titus, his mentee. And if you look at this, you read the letter, we have to see that Paul invested a ton of time into Titus. So he invested his time, his energy, and his resources, and he invited Titus into all these ministry experiences. So if you get invites from different people, whether it's myself or different people at Enrich, to do these ministry assignments or these outreaches or these activities, it's really intentional. Like if you're invited to prayer on like a Friday night, like you're being invited into God's leadership development process for you is what's really going on. And God is saying, hey, here's an invitation. Will you respond to this and step into that leadership development process that I have for you? And the way it played out is that Titus was raised up as an apostolic leader. So Titus was probably this young guy, didn't really know much and didn't really have a lot of people investing in him. Paul saw potential, said, Titus, join with me. And over time is what was on Paul's life got on Timothy, and in his life, Titus. Titus was raised up as that apostolic leader. And so what we see is as they went throughout Crete, there was no leaders in these churches. And so Titus's role was to help find who are the leaders, who meet the qualifications, and establish them as leaders. And so Titus received Paul's delegated authority to go and to do the work. Because remember, they all knew Paul. Paul was like the main leader. But if he leaves, it's like, who are we going to listen to? We listen to Titus? So when Titus reads that letter, basically saying, Paul is saying, the authority that I have, I give to Titus to do this work. So listen to Titus as you would listen to me. And so what's really interesting too, this insight that God had given me in prayer as we plant churches. And if you want to write this down, this was so insightful for me if you want to remember it. There's a process that churches go through. So they go through a pioneering phase to an established phase to a multiplying phase. So they're going to pioneer, right? They're going to start probably from scratch or with maybe a small team of people. And they're going to go into an area or a region, lead more people to Jesus. Then as they mature and they develop leaders, they become established. And then through that, as they start planting more churches, they start multiplying. So if you think about this in our context, we got Roots Church. So we got Brianna right here and her husband Anthony's doing kids discipleship today. They're starting this really cool phase of inviting people to Discovery Bible Study at their house this summer. So they're starting from scratch. They're getting a ton of support from all of us here and encouragement and prayer and investing in them. And they're spearheading an area where they're inviting people who don't know Jesus to come get to know him and believe in him. We were talking in our DBS group with Brianna. She's like, yeah, most of the people we've invited, they don't know Jesus at all. I mean, think about how cool that is. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing as a church, is pioneering people who don't know Jesus, leading them to know him, make a commitment, be baptized, and become disciple makers. So you got pioneer churches. You got Roots Church in JC House with Jaden and Chloe in San Diego. They're also starting from scratch. And so they're in the pioneering phase. And then we got, Ethan and Jen with Selma House, and D'Isaac and Phoebe were with them too for the whole year. When I first met Ethan, they were pioneering. They had about four or five people. They were trying to get established and situated. And as we journeyed with them through the past year, they got strong and they're established. And now they're actually reaching out more and seeing more people come in. And they're also starting to send some people out. And like, for example, one of their people has started a Discovery Bible Study virtually with just a bunch of their friends that are kind of all over a different region. And so they're starting now to multiply, right? So they went from pioneering to establish to multiplying. And you think about us as Enrich, we went through this whole phase, right? We were pioneering from our apartment with nobody, all by ourselves. And then one of the coolest ones was Meredith was part of this mom's group that does this homeschool parks thing, where she met Laura and Jennifer and some other people are starting to come. And so when you pioneer, you're putting yourself in places where people are who don't know Jesus, that they, through your life and your relationship, they'll be invited into that with him. And then we went through a phase of a lot of discipleship and leadership development, of people being raised up as disciple makers and leaders. And then we've sent some of them out, and more of them are continuing to emerge at Enrich Church. So we went from pioneering to establish, and now we're starting to multiply. So as we think of leaders, like who is God wanting to develop as a leader? God gives this pretty significant list of, hey, here are the markers for leadership at the role of elder overseer in his kingdom. So let's look at verses 6 and 7 together. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation for being wild or rebellious. A church leader is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life, not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. All right, man, if you put this list next to most people who are just kind of the average person in the world, they probably would not check any of those boxes, right? And so you're like, man, this list that God has for us to develop as leaders, Jesus has a high bar for us who want to step into these leadership positions. And so We saw the word elders or overseers or managers in God's household, depending on what your translation says or the asterisk says below. The word elders and overseers, those can be used interchangeably. So they're going to be the same role that's helping manage God's household, which is the people of God, the church. And so he gives this really big list. He starts off with blameless, which in the Greek would be like be above reproach. So what that would be is like no one could say, hey, that guy or that woman has all this stuff in their life. If they think of you, they're like scratching their head trying to think of something to say about you. And if they can't say anything about you, that's being blameless or above reproach. And it says faithful to their wife or their spouse. So at Enrich Church, we believe that both men and women can hold any position in the kingdom of God. So that is our approach, how we do it. So we'd say faithful to their spouse. Next one here is children are believers and they're not wild or rebellious. So they're not living crazy or they're not insubordinate to their parents. And some people are like, oh man, my kids are like, they're in that phase, right? So know that like all kids are going to grow and they're going to develop and mature. I think what Paul is saying here is that parents are good leaders for their children, because if they can be good leaders for their children, they can be good leaders in the church. But if they're having trouble managing their own household, how are they going to manage God's household? So the idea is that parents are discipling their children. It says that they're not arrogant or quick-tempered, that they're not heavy drinkers, they're not violent, they're not dishonest with money. And so Paul puts this list out there saying, hey, these are the qualifications for leaders in my kingdom that I want people to have. So let's look at the rest of that list in verses 8 and 9. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home. He must love what is good, must live wisely and be just, must live a devout and disciplined life, must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught, and he'll be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. So if you caught on to the structure of what Paul was saying, the first part is family. How do you manage your family as a leader? The second part is personal character. And then the third part is how do you interact with others as a leader? So Paul lists hospitality. Are those leaders inviting people into their homes to spend time with people, to invest in them, to encourage them? Do they love what is good? So it means do they promote virtue? Do they promote what is right in God's eyes? Do they live wisely? Meaning, are they self-controlled in their body, in their soul, their spirit, their sexuality, their relationships? Are they practicing self-control? Are they devout? Are they upright? Are they living a life of character and a life of integrity? So character is who you are on the inside and your commitment to personal growth. Integrity is who you are when nobody is looking. So are you the same person when you're in this circle as you are at home or as you are behind a closed door when nobody's looking at you? Are you living a consistent life no matter where you are? Because God wants us to be a people of integrity and character. Integrity also has to do with accountability. Like, are you willing to be accountable to others in your life where they can ask you hard questions and you can say, hey, yeah, I messed up, and you can take responsibility for the areas of your life? Are you disciplined? Do you hold strongly to a belief in God's word? And so what this means is like they've had to have been discipled. So did they go through a discipleship process where they were invested into? And if that happened, they had to have been teachable. Right? So were they a person who was teachable, that they were willing to learn from others? And did they have a humility to be able to receive from others as they were being discipled? Because if you've been discipled in that way and you were teachable and humble, then as you start discipling other people, you're going to bring that same heart to those relationships of those that God is wanting to develop into other leaders. And do they encourage and teach God's word? This means that they have to have been in the word really deeply themselves to be able to bring the word out of the storehouse of their own heart, to be able to bring the word to other people. So the word of God has to get deep in our hearts so that we're able then to encourage people with God's word and to help guide them and teach them in God's word. Because when you teach someone with God's word, one of the best ways to do it is to ask questions. And that's why the DBS is so important, is because when you discover for yourself what the Bible says, you're more willing to take ownership. Because let's be honest, if I'm going to tell you something from up here, you are far less likely to do what I'm sharing with you than if you discover in yourself for DBS and you feel like you're supposed to obey God this week with what he shows you, right? And so you, if you can take ownership yourself, you're more likely to then take that in your own life. And so our roles as leaders is not necessarily to tell people what to do. It's help them to take ownership over their lives with what God's word says for them. And so that's how we want to do that as leaders, as we equip and train people. And what that means too is like, we got to cut time out of our schedules to make the word of God a priority. So we have to take time to actually read God's word. And I'll tell you one thing, your flesh and the devil is not going to want you to be in scripture. I mean, there's going to be so many excuses, so many things are going to happen in your life and in your schedule that's going to keep you out of the word. But if the word of God gets inside of you, it'll actually transform you. Because Hebrews says that the word of God is alive and active, right? So if you get the scriptures inside of you, it's not just going to do nothing. It's going to begin to change you from the inside out. So the more you get God's word in you. I know y'all, some of you got to commute long distances. I know some of you like commute down the street. But what you can do is, like, how do you shape your schedule? So if you got like a 2-hour commute every day, I mean, you got the audio Bible, right? You can listen to the Bible as you go. Or if you're like, man, I got kids in the morning, I got kids in the evening. Like, how do you take your lunch break for 30 minutes to get in the word? So it's like, you gotta be willing to make the sacrifices and the cuts to cut things out of your life to make Jesus the priority of your life. And something that's important too in that last verse, if you saw it, it says, oppose those who are opposing God's word and opposing in the church. So it's opposing those who are working in the church against God's word in speech and in action. So y'all know that we all got issues, right? I got issues. How many of y'all have ever been rebellious in your life against authority? Yeah, I have too. That's lesson 3 in Heal, Made Whole discipleship, right? Is working that stuff out. So there's going to be people that as we grow, right, if we get people who are coming to know Jesus for the first time, they got a whole decade sometimes of life behind them that they'd never resolved, and rebellion's going to come up. And so part of our role is, how do we coach them to become healthy? And so part of a role of an elder and overseer is actually to step into conflict to help resolve it and strengthen unity in the church. And we use God's word to help guide people in speech and in behavior. Because remember, these people from Crete, man, they were living a wild lifestyle. And so when they were hearing about Jesus and the gospel for the first time about how to live, this is probably the first time they're ever hearing about it. And so we bring God's word to people and help them align their lives with God's best according to the scriptures. So when you think about, like, how does this apply to us as a church? If you read Acts chapter 14, if you want to go, it's towards the end if you want to write it down and read it later. Basically, in Paul's first missionary journey with Barnabas, they went to all these different cities, and then when they finished their journey, they went back through all the same cities. It says what they did in each city as they went is they established elders in each city, and they did it with fasting and prayer. So what we'll see this theme in scripture in Acts 13 like we did is we established our church planters and sent them out through fasting and prayer as a church. And you also establish spiritual leaders, elders, and overseers through fasting and prayer as they align with what these scriptures look like. And so Justin last week in our DBS, he had a great insight. Remember, we were looking at, like, how do you establish a church? Like, what does a church look like? Looking at Acts 2, 41 through 47. The first thing that Justin said, he said, there's leadership. And that's right. If you look at that, there's a leadership structure throughout the church. And Jesus says, our leaders got to be healthy. They got to be people of character, integrity, and they got to walk uprightly with God and with other people. And so God is really looking for people who are willing to answer that call for leadership. And it's a hard process. I'm going to be honest. Like, if Jesus says, hey, I want you to be a leader, you know what he's going to do in your life? He's going to cause you to suffer. Because if you look at Romans 5, 3 through 5, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And then God pours out his spirit into our hearts to give us that hope. And so know that whether you're a leader or not, it doesn't matter. You follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. Because he says, take up your cross and follow me. That means we're going to have to make a lot of changes in our lives and be willing to confront areas of our hearts that he wants to change. And so, yeah, we have a question?
Romans
Oh yeah, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Yeah, so you can take a look at that or you write that down. It talks about how God uses suffering to actually grow us in character and to make us who he wants us to be. Because I'll just speak to like general American culture. Basically, it says like anything that has to do with suffering, there's a next plane going over us. Today's the day of airplanes and helicopters coming over us at the park. Our culture says do everything you can to escape suffering. God's word says do everything you can to embrace suffering for his purposes. So the gospel is literally like the opposite of the world. And so God wants to develop us as leaders. And I'll share this with you. I think God is wanting everybody to develop as a leader. Like everybody. And with that, are we willing to submit to his process to become leaders and to become elders and to become overseers? Jesus is needing more leaders in his kingdom to see more churches planted and multiplied. So Jesus wants every church to be healthy by having healthy leaders. Because here's what it comes down to. Healthy leaders produce healthy churches. So healthy leaders produce healthy churches. And at this point, like, I like to think I'm at least like healthy enough to produce healthy leaders and healthy churches, but it didn't start that way, right? I came from a context and a background that had a lot of unhealthy things. And so I spent a lot of years working on myself in counseling and discipleship and spiritual freedom and all these things to get free from a lot of stuff to become healthy. So that's why at Enrich Church here, it's so important for us to go through, we invite people into our discipleship process, because what we do is we lay a foundation in God's word and the basics of what does it mean to believe in God and who God says he is and what does the scripture say. And then we take people through a process of healed and made whole discipleship. We help people resolve their emotional and spiritual issues, because we all have hurts, we all have brokenness, we all have a past. And if we don't resolve that stuff, it follows us into our marriage, into our parenting, into our relationships within the church context. So the healed and made whole discipleship is super important. We also do premarital counseling. At this point, Meredith and I are facilitating it, but we have premarital counseling for couples that are engaged. So Jaden and Chloe are in it, and Nate and Michelle too. And it's so cool to journey with them through that process and watch God use it as a space for discipleship to help them grow more healthy. One of the things that we've seen from doing premarital counseling is, man, it's setting marriages up for success. And one of the things that we're gonna do in the future, there's a third plane, by the way. Today is like the day of airplanes. We're gonna make a marriage enrichment process for people. So we're gonna tweak the premarital counseling to make a marriage enrichment, because what we're finding is if we can build healthy and strong marriages, it builds healthy and strong families, and it builds healthy and strong churches. And so as this unfolds in the future, there'll be opportunities for people that want premarital counseling or marriage enrichment that we'll be able to do that as well. And then all this builds into what our role is as we send planters, is we focus on their health and their support. And if we can have healthy leaders who are supported, they're going to plant more churches. So you can see all of what Paul is doing here is he's taking churches from a pioneering phase to an established phase to a multiplying phase. And if you're thinking about like, what do elders or overseers actually do? When I did a study on kind of different scriptures of it, here's five things. One, they shepherd. So if you want to write this down, if you're curious about it or want to grow in this area, the eldership, overseer, they shepherd. So it's all about people. Two, they teach and preach, right? So it's God's word. And understanding preaching in the Bible isn't standing up here and doing what I'm doing. Preaching is actually sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. That's what the biblical idea of preaching is. Then there's overseeing or leading, helping with like events where people can come and know Jesus more and build fellowship. They model character, so lifestyle, and they pray, their relationship with God and with others. So God wants to raise up elders and overseers in every church, because if you have those in churches, they're stronger. And they actually provide a stronger spiritual covering, and then they can multiply more effectively. So I feel like God is inviting all of us into leadership growth and development, because God is looking for leaders. So as you've heard the scriptures today, and as you did it in your DBS too, I want you to write down two things. How will you obey the passage this week? And who is one person you can share with what you learned? So go ahead and write that down and share it with the person next to you. And then when you come back next week for your check-in, those will be the two things that you share. How did you obey and who did you share with? So take a moment. How will you obey God this week based upon the scriptures of how the Spirit is speaking to you? And who is one person that you can share with this week? All right, so after you share how you're going to obey and who you're going to share with the person next to you, what you'll do is next week you'll bring that back to your DBS group and you'll report on how that went for you during the week. So now we're going to go into a space of communion. We usually do this once a month, usually on the fourth Sunday. And today Brianna is going to come up and lead us in communion.